Okay, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in the second chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, so he says as follows. I want to read it to you, and we're going to base our discussion on this. Right, that says, "Vuketz mechila v'slichli." So it is the edge of forgiveness for the Jewish people. Lefikach chayav v'nakol la'asos tshuva lismadus biyom haKippurim. And therefore, everyone must do tshuva and do the confession on Yom Kippur. Okay? Now, and then the Rambam proceeds to say that we have a special halakha that even on Erev Yom Kippur, a mincha, before we eat our final suda, we confess there also, lest, God forbid, a person have a mishap and he won't have a chance on Yom Kippur, any mishap of any type, right? So, but what interests me are two things over here, right? The Rambam says Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva for all, right? What does the Rambam mean by that? It's a time of tshuva, be it for the individual, be it for the masses. Let's contrast that to, let's take, for example, the first day of Sukkot. First day of Sukkot is the time, to sit in Sukkah and to shake lulav. The Rambam doesn't say over there, it's a time for be it for the individual, be it for the masses. Like, what does the Rambam say? It's a time, be it for the, obviously, if it's a mitzvah incumbent upon everyone, right? So, of course, it's for the individual, and it's for the masses, right? There's something strange. Rambam's trying to get a point across, and it's a bit mysterious what that point is. The Rambam doesn't write, let's say, in his laws, that on Seder night, be it the individual, be it the masses, everyone has to sit down to a Seder, right? So, there's something he means over here. There's a message trying to create. Say, be it for the individual, be it for the masses, and we have to understand what that is. I hope this question is clear. All right? Another question that we have over here is that the Rambam seemingly is contradicting himself. Right? The Rambam, in the beginning of the laws of tshuva, makes it very clear that there is no particular, neither a particular obligation to do tshuva, nor a particular time. The Rambam just says, at the very opening of the laws of tshuva, kishiyas tshuva, whenever a person does tshuva and ceases to sin, so then kicks in an obligation to confess. Right? But there's no particular date, and there's not even a particular obligation to do tshuva. Rambam just says, whenever a person decides to do tshuva, at that point, a obligation to say vidui, to confess, will kick in, right? But, but there's no mitzvah to do tshuva. There's no particular time to do tshuva, seemingly, right? That's what the Rambam says. And yet the Rambam over here says, in the Rambam that we just mentioned, no, Yom Kippur is a time to do tshuva, and everyone must do tshuva, and because everyone must do tshuva, therefore everyone must confess. Because once you do tshuva, a obligation to confess the sin kicks in, since you're doing tshuva. Right? So, we have to understand, there seems to be a contradiction here. Is there an obligation to do tshuva? Right? Is there not an obligation to do tshuva? Right? Is there a particular time to do tshuva? Is there not? Right? So, we have a contradiction between what the Rambam wrote at the beginning of the laws of tshuva, and what he writes at the end, right? Now, thirdly, right, and this is the hardest point to understand, right? And that is what the Rambam writes, Buketz mechil v'slicha l'Yisrael, Yom Kippur is the edge, Ketz means edge, end or edge. It is the end or edge of forgiveness for the Jewish people, and therefore, because of that, everyone must do tshuva and confess on Yom Kippur. Right? What does he mean? It is the edge of forgiveness, and therefore everyone must do tshuva and confess on Yom Kippur. Right? I want to add one more question. I hope everyone's keeping track of the questions. All right, I want to add one more question. We know, that women are exempt from time-related positive commandments. For instance, a woman does not have to eat or sleep in a sukkah or a shake lulav because these are positive commandments that are on the calendar. Right, it's mitzvah saseh shazman grama. A woman doesn't have to do it, right? The reason why a woman is obligated in the laws of Seder night that she has to eat matzah is only because we have a special derivation from the fact that the Torah equated eating matzah with the prohibition of eating chametz. So we say whoever is prohibited to eat chametz must eat matzah, right? But that's an exception to the rule. The general rule is women are exempt from time-related positive commandments. Okay? So, but Amir Rambam says, Yom Kippur is a time to do tshuva. No, neither is not time-related. Neither is circumstance-related. It's not time-related. Whenever she has blood, so they have to separate. That's not time. That's circumstance. A positive commandment that results of circumstance, right? This would be the calendar. The calendar causes it. So if the Rambam, if we were to take the Rambam literally, right? So Rambam's saying, Yom Kippur's a time where, you have to do tshuva. Does that mean that women are exempt? Women do not have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? Clearly not, because the Rambam says very openly, both the individual and the masses, and Rambam sums it up, Lefikach, and since Yom Kippur is this edge of forgiveness, and we haven't defined what that means yet. What does the Rambam mean to tell us? It's the edge of forgiveness. It's probably the hardest thing to understand in this Rambam. It's the edge of forgiveness. Therefore, Chayav and Akol, all, everyone must do tshuva and confess on Yom Kippur. Everyone obviously includes women, right? So, we have to understand, what is the Rambam trying to tell us over here and to reconcile him with what he wrote at the beginning of the Laws of Tshuva. Okay? So, to understand this, to give a little bit of an insight into this, and this will be an insight into the entirety of the nature of Yom Kippur, right? We know that Yom Kippur was the day when there was a temple, so the Kohen Gadol entered the holiest of holies, which is prohibited to do year round, right? Year round. That area is off limits. It's like God's domain, and no man can go in there, right? So there's the two are mentioned together. The prohibition of going into the holiest of holies year round is mentioned back to back with the exception to the rule, and that being Yom Kippur. So hear this well: when the Torah laid down the prohibition of going in to the holiest of holies, so the Torah said, do not come at any time to the holiest of holies. Do not come at any time. So Chazal are bothered that, wait a minute, the way the prohibition is stated, it's as if it includes Yom Kippur. Because the verse literally said, do not come at any time to the holiest of holies. Right? And then the Torah turns around and says, but with this, you could go in, and that's on Yom Kippur. Right? So Chazal bothered that there's a contradiction between the rule and the exception to the rule, because the rule seemed to say any time, literally. Right? And then the Torah further goes on to say, right, v'chol adam lo yabo moed, no person should be in the holiest of holies, at the time that the Kohen Gadol goes in. It's only for the Kohen Gadol, but the Torah literally said, no Adam, no man should be in the holiest of holies. So Chazal are again bothered. But wait a minute. The Kohen Gadol is an Adam also. The Kohen Gadol is a human being also. You know, the Torah says, even on Yom Kippur, no man should be in the holiest of holies, right? No man. The Kohen Gadol is a man also. So listen to what Chazal say, right, regarding both these questions. That seemingly, at no time, no time would also include Yom Kippur, right? No man would include the Kohen Gadol. So regarding, you know, the latter question, no man, so the Yerushalmi says something very interesting. The Yerushalmi says, well, the Kohen Gadol is not a regular human being, right? At the time that he goes into the holiest of holies, he ascends to the level of angels, right? And we're going to come back to that, you know, that concept, right? He's not a human being at the time that he goes into the holiest of holies. On Yom Kippur, he ascends to the level of angels, right? And the Sifre, rather the Sifra, right, the Medrash Halacha says regarding the issue of all time. So all time, the prohibition of being in the Holy at any time, all time seemingly should include Yom Kippur. So the Sifra answers, well, Yom Kippur, you know, in essence it says the following idea. Yom Kippur is not another time. Yom Kippur is all time. Yom Kippur is not just another day of the year, it's like all time. Right? It's very interesting. Right? There's some very deep metaphysical ideas being said over here that we will do our best to try to decode. Right? And with this we'll also understand many other customs that we have on Yom Kippur. Right? So, you know, to try to understand this, right? Understand what Yom Kippur is. So the Gemara says that HaSatan, the Satan, is numerical values, Gematria 364. Right, so the Gemara asks, there's 365 days in the year. Right? So says the Gemara, well, the 365th day, you know, of the year, Satan doesn't operate. He's off. And that 365th day is Yom Kippur. The 365th day, which is, you know, so Hassan, this Satan, is numerical about 364. So there's an extra day in the year, and on that day, he doesn't operate. It's, you know, it's beyond him. He's only Gematria 364. So there's a 365th day that's, you know, beyond him, that's bigger than him. He can't operate on that day, right? And what's that day? That day is Yom Kippur. This is what Chazal say. So something very interesting to note. You know, the Satan is 364 out of 365, right? So by what cycle are we counting the year when we say that there's 365 days in the year? And Satan is 364 out of 365. And Yom Kippur is like the 365th day that's beyond, right? So what cycle, you know, there are two cycles that we count time by. There's the lunar cycle and there's the solar cycle, right? The lunar cycle is 354 days long, right? The solar cycle is 365 days long, right? Right, so that, you know, means, right, that means that Chazal, you know, are viewing Yom Kippur on the solar cycle, right, as the end of the solar cycle, 365th day of the year. Right, the Yom Kippur is the end of the solar cycle. Right, so something very interesting to think about. You know, the lunar cycle is 10 days shorter than the solar cycle, right? So the new year on the lunar cycle started on Rosh Hashanah, first day of the new year, right? The solar cycle is 10 days, or it means it's still last year, right? You know, it's still last year on the solar cycle. It's right now on the solar cycle. Right now on the solar cycle, it's still last year. It's still 5767. Right, Yom Kippur is the day where the solar cycle catches up to the lunar cycle. Right? So it's the day when, you know, the two tracks meet, you know, the track of the moon and the track of the sun. You know what this is like? You know, what it's like, you know, in us. You know, in us, you know, we have two parts to ourselves. We have a soul and we have a body. Now the soul, in essence, is pure, and the soul always wants to do what God wants, right? It could be corrupted by the body, but the soul's natural, you know, orientation is to do what God wants, right? But what to do, right? As the saying goes, the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. In the words of our sages, you know, our sages say that the Jewish people, as it were, in their subconscious, say to God, you know, Ribon Shel Olam, Ritzonenu La'asos Ritzoncha Mimakev Sor Shebisa Mishir Machas, God, you know, we really want to do whatever you want, but who gets in the way? The Yetzer Hara and the exile, these things shall just interfere, but we really want what you want. Okay? So our soul runs ahead of our body. Right, and that's the big cosmic problem. And you know, it runs, you know, parallel to the concept of how the moon runs ahead of the sun. Right? The moon runs ahead of the sun, right? It's, you know, it finishes the cycle 10 days earlier. Right? And that reality is parallel to how our soul runs ahead of our body. Right? Which is why, think about it, this is why, as the Maharal says this, this is why tshuva is legitimate. You know, what does saying sorry help? You know, maybe you're just saying sorry to escape punishment. You know, well, no, we are sincere. Because, you know, our sin was because of, you know, the weakness of the flesh. But the sin is not the real us, you know. The soul, you know, it's not, you know, its natural orientation is not to sin. And when a person is doing tshuva, he's saying, God, you know, the me that sinned is not the real me. You know, it was the weakness of the flesh that caused the sin. But you know, God, deep down I really want what you want. Right? And that's where why tshuva is legitimate. You know, tshuva says that when man sins, it's because his soul is not in full control. He's also connected to a body, and the body has its weaknesses. And therefore, if a person regrets, we accept the excuse because we're willing to accept, God is willing to accept, that it's not the real him that did the sin. The real him is his intellect, and his intellect is his soul, but the intellect gets clouded by the body and its passions, the Yetzer Hara that's in the body. Right? And the truth is, the reason, hear this well, the reason why the flesh is weak, the flesh is weak, not because the flesh is innately evil either, God forbid. The flesh is weak because it's adulterated with a Yetzer Hara. It's adulterated, you know, with evil. Right? You know, that's the problem. You know, the flesh is not in essence evil, but the flesh is susceptible to evil. The flesh is the aspect of man that's vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara. So it's not really the body that's evil either, it's how the body is susceptible to the Yetzer Hara, that's the problem. So as it were, the Yetzer Hara makes the body not run at the same pace as the soul. Right? How are we doing? You following me? The Yetzer Hara makes it that the body doesn't keep the same time as the soul, doesn't keep pace with the soul. Okay? Right? So now, yeah, but, you know, the Yetzer Hara, right, that is the problem that causes the flesh to lag behind the soul, right? So that Yetzer Hara only operates 364 out of the 365. So if the solar cycle, that's what I'm saying, the sun, which relates to the body, right, the sun which relates to the body, you know, has, right, right, the sun that relates to the body lags behind the lunar cycle, right, by 10 days, right, by 10 days, it lags behind, Right, and that's because of the Yetzer Hara. Right, but the Yetzer that caused it to lag behind, right, is, you know, only operates 364 days out of the year. Right, and the 365th day, so just like, you know, in time, you know, the solar cycle has caught up to the lunar cycle, right? And it's 5768 now on the solar cycle also, because the solar cycle is, you know, we average out 10 days. It's technically 10 and a half, right? It's also not, the lunar cycle is not an even 354 either, right? It averages out to about 10, right? So now, Yom Kippur is the day where the solar cycle, right? There's no Yetzer Hara, right? The evil which causes the body to lag behind the soul, right? It, you know, doesn't operate on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, the body catches up. And that's, you know, and really, like we explained, like the Maharal says, you know, tshuva, right? The dynamics of tshuva, why tshuva is legit, right? Why, you know, saying sorry works is because God knows, right? That the body's, the weakness of the flesh is not the real us. The weakness of the flesh is just the weakness of the flesh, period. Yetzer Hara is a weakness of the flesh. Not even that our body wants evil, like we explained, God forbid. Our body, it doesn't want evil either. It's just that the body is the aspect of man that's susceptible to evil. Right? But the body doesn't want evil either. Right? Right. So, since, you know, so the, when the evil, right, when the evil is, you know, so we accept the person's excuse. We accept the person's excuse that, you know, God, I didn't really mean it, because we know that, you know, his failure doesn't come from the real him. It's not even his real body either. It's the weakness within the body. And during the 10 days of tshuva, that's the declaration that we make. Right, I'm getting there. Right? I'll get there, Abra. Right? Right? So, you know, during all day tshuva saying, God, you know, it's the weakness of the flesh is not the real me. It's not my real body. It's certainly not my soul. It's not even my real body. Right? It's the weakness within my body. Right? So, because we do tshuva sincerely, so we could get the maximum out of Yom Kippur. You know, God allows us to, you know, get the full utility out of Yom Kippur. Right, that Yom Kippur is a day where, you know, the evil doesn't function. The Satan that causes the solar cycle, as it were, to be longer than the lunar cycle, causes the lack of sync between body and soul. He only operates 364 days. The 365th day, he doesn't operate, so that which causes the problem is gone. And parallel to that, you know, the solar cycle catches up to the lunar cycle. And everyone knows in the future also, right, speedily in our days, so, you know, in the post-messianic times, the prophets say, Vaya ol bana korachamba, the moon will shine as brightly as the sun, because the fact that the moon is so small is also because of this lack of sync between the sun and the moon, so it affects the moon also, right, and at the end of time, you know, this lack of sync, you know, will be repaired, and that's why the sun and moon will be move at the same pace, keep the same time, you know, and that's, you know, figuratively called being the same size, and that's why the moon will shine as brightly as the sun, and that all, you know, is all how in the big picture, you know, representative of how in every individual, you know, in the future, the body and soul will be in a, you know, they'll be in sync. They'll keep the same time. They'll run at the same pace. There won't be conflict between the body and soul, right? Because the Yetzer Hara that creates the conflict will be eliminated. And that's parallel to how the moon and the sun shine equally as bright in the future, because, you know, the division between them has been eliminated, right? But what we're seeing now is that Yom Kippur is no normal time, right? Yom Kippur is a day of, Right, Yom Kippur is a day, you know, where, you know, things, moon, running ahead, lunar time running ahead of solar time. Right, the prom, the prom immediately starts again after Yom Kippur. Right, but Yom Kippur is the day of unification. Right, it's a time when both tracks of time blend together. Right. I'll give you another chazal. Another chazal says, you know, that sees on a illusion, you know, the first day of creation. So it says at the end of, you know, the first day of creation, Vayevari Boker Yom Echad, it was night, it was day. Right? But it was night, it was day. Right. You know, the right, so one day, doesn't say the first day, it says day one, Yom Echad, Yom Echad. Okay, so the, the Medrash says, you know, why is it called Yom Echad? You know, day one, right, not called the first day. So Chazal say two approaches, right? Approach number one is, that God was the one and only on that day, because since the whole world was underwater, there was no separate space, right? That things should have their own space. That's only once God created open space, and that's on the second day of creation. So on that day, there was no open space. You know, everything was equally underwater. So since everything was equally underwater, there was no concept of separate space. Right, God creates separate space on the second day. When splitting the waters, he makes space. Right, space. So God was still the only thing in the world, because there's nothing had its perception of being separate from God. That's the Medrash's first approach. The Medrash's second approach is day one. It's the day of unity for both the evil and the righteous. There's a day when they are together. They are together. Right? And that's, you know, what is that day? That day is Yom Kippur. Okay? It's a day when the evil and the righteous unite. Everyone's together. It's unity. That's what we say, you know, in Kol Nidre, you know, we anu matir litpaleli ma'avaryonim. We permit, you know, the people, right, we permit, you know, to pray together with the sinners. We make one assembly. Right? There's a, so again, you know, the way that this is possible, right, you know, Yom Kippur is this day of unity, is a day of unity, right, is that, you know, on this day, everything that's called separate, be it, you know, the schism between body and soul, the schism between, you know, the two different tracks in time, the lunar and the solar, right, you know, all these schisms are closed, and the truth is, all sin comes from schism, all sin comes from detachment. A person feels detached from God. Right? Because of that detachment from God, you know, he views himself as, you know, on his own time, in his own space, and does what he wants. All bad things come from detachment. Be it the detachment between body and soul. Be it the detachment between man and God. Right? You know, the sinner says, let me have my own space. Let me do my own thing. Yom Kippur is the time where all gaps are closed. And that's, you know, and gaps are in time and space. Gaps are in time and space. Right? And, you know, so, you know, that's what, you know, time, space-time, as we say in physics, space-time. So now, on Yom Kippur, that's why, you know, the Kohen Gadol went into, you know, the Holiest of Holies, right? Yom Kippur, you know, he went into Holiest of Holies, you know, the Holiest of Holies, where all space branched out from. It's the point that all space branched out. You know, in the Holiest of Holies is the Evan Shasia, right, the stone from which all reality branched out from. Right? Right? So, so that represents, like, all space together. And that's why also on Yom Kippur there were amazing miracles, spatial distortions that happened, that the Jewish people stood, you know, stiff like sardines. They were packed in tight. Omdin tzfufin umishtachavim revachim. Right, they stood crowded, but they could bow and spread out. An amazing thing, right? It's like absurd that when they stand straight, they was tight like sardines, and when they spread out on the floor, there's like ample room. Omdin tzfufin umishtachavim revachim. Right, because on Yom Kippur, when you bow before God, so you go back to the point of all space, all space, all space, right? And that, that was also represented, when they bowed, when they submit to God, they go back to the point of all space, the point where space branches out from. Parallel to how the Kohen Gadol went in, right? Negating self, negating separate space, negating selfish space. Negate selfish space, you've negated separate space. In separate space, there's not enough room. But in all space, there's plenty of room. You go to God, who's Mekayma Shalaylam, God who's the space of the world. There's plenty of space. And that's also represented by the Kohen Gadol going into the holiest of the holies. All evil is in the concept of selfish space or separate space. But Yom Kippur is the day when all these gaps are closed. Right? And just like it's closed in space, it's closed in time. It's closed in time. Nisano, I'm not avoiding your question. I will answer it, I promise, right? But I want to get my point across first. And then I'm going to go back to your question. Right? So that's what the Safra says, the Safra, the Mevorach says, B'chol Eis. B'chol Eis Zeh Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is called not just another day on the calendar. It's all time. Yom Kippur is when we come to the point that is the is the point of all time and all space. So we said on this time, this is the day where there's no division between solar time and lunar time. It's it's all time and all space. We go back to the point of origin of the universe. The point of origin is also the point of destination, right? You know that in the future, right? In the future, God will vanquish, right? All evil from the reality, right? All evil will be vanquished from the world, right? And, evil, will cease to exist. And we're going to reach this utopic state that there just won't be any ills in the world. Because again, all bad things are rooted in selfishness, which is, to separate oneself from everyone else. It's rooted in, right? It's rooted in separateness, right? And in the future, when we get rid of the evil, there won't be separateness anymore. That's why there'll be world peace. There'll be world harmony. And there'll be total harmony between man and God, right? So Yom Kippur is reminiscent of the first day of creation when there was no separate space, but it's also reminiscent of, for lack of a better word, reminiscent of the future, right? And that's how destiny goes full circle, right? Before God created separate space on the second day of creation, prior to that he was the only thing in the world, because even though there was matter, but the matter didn't have a perception of itself as being something separate, and independent from God, because separate space doesn't exist until the second day of creation, right? But comes, the future. So what do the prophets say about the future? Vayom ahu yeh Hashem echad b'shmocha. On that day, God and His name will be one. So you get back to that type of unity with God and lack of separateness that there was prior to the second day of creation. So as it were, the end of creation and the first day of creation is a loop. Right? Our goal is to find our way back, pierce the separate space that allows for sin, pierce the separate space, and make our way back to God. So to go back to Abraham Katz's second to last post, right, they put up, Yetzer HaTov, Yetzer HaTov take up sin space? No. Right? The Yetzer HaTov takes up all space. The Yetzer Hara exists in the illusion of separate space. Absolutely, absolutely. Nasano, you're right on. All right? But I want to tell you something. I'm going to go back to your question, Nasano. Right? I'm going to go back to your question. Right? You asked that the Gemara tells, you know, a story that a man and his son, you know, did terrible promiscuous acts on Yom Kippur. So I want to tell you something, very frightening. This is what the Musar Svarim say. You know, it is commonly understood that just like Satan doesn't operate, so the Yetzer is a branch of Satan. But a person can pervert himself. God forbid, you know, there's something very scary. You know, something to be on the lookout for. Even though the Yetzer Hara is held at bay, a person who just gives into the Yetzer Hara and doesn't feel bad about it whatsoever can pervert his soul so as he will actually choose to do bad things even on a day when there is no Yetzer Hara because he's perverted himself. Right? You know, we found, you know, there are stories, you know, that are in the Mekubalim, you know, that souls, you know, even after they leave the body, the Yetzer is in the body, you know, there's something called, you know, perverted souls. That's why they have to go to hell to be cleansed. You know, the soul could be perverted, God forbid. But of course, you know, to reach that low, low level is that a person sins, you know, without any remorse year-round. You know, we said that, you know, the legitimacy of tshuva is that we say to God, our sinning is not the real us. But if a person feels that his sins are the real him, he will do sins on Yom Kippur also, because it's him, not the Yetzer Hara. You may have started with the Yetzer Hara, but he decided to make the Yetzer Hara and him synonymous. So that person will do sins on Yom Kippur also. God forbid. Something to be on the lookout for. Right? Okay, but on Yom Kippur, what we're saying, there's no separate time, there's no separate space. Right? So, you know, and which means that Yom Kippur is not a regular earthly day. It's a supernatural day. It's different time. It's different space. It's all time. It's all space. Right? And it's just, it's not another day on the calendar. You know, it may be, you know, there may be some tenuous link between Yom Kippur and the calendar because you can't get into the dimension of Yom Kippur unless you come to this day on the calendar, but the essence of Yom Kippur is not another day on the calendar. With this we can understand, a lesson at the Rambam, but the Rambam took it from Chazal. They refer to Itsumo Shel Yom, the essence of the day. The Rambam brings when talking about the special quality of Yom Kippur to atone for sins, Itsumo Shel Yom Mechaper, the essence of the day, meaning it's not the day. There's an essence connected to this day that's above normal time and space. Right? And this, you know, and this special, this special dimension to Yom Kippur. Yes, Yovel is also beyond time. That's correct, Avram. Right, Yovel's beyond time. That's why all the slaves go free, even though they're sold forever. Yovel's called forever. Va'avad Olam, servant forever. Yovel's also called all time. It's called forever. Lo'olam. That's why Yovel is declared on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah. Way to go. Right? So, Yom Kippur, its special essence, is not just another day. It's like the root of all days, right? It's not another place. It's like the root of all place, right? And that's why, the Ramchal explains, on this day we say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Ved out loud, because, generally we whisper it year-round, Ramchal explains, because we're embarrassed. We're being hypocritical. Blessed be the name of God's glorious majesty. Wait a minute. But the world doesn't run as if it's God's glorious majesty, with all the fegeluch and all the terrible perversions that are going on in the world. It doesn't look like God's glorious majesty because very little of the world is acknowledging God as king or following his law. Yes, right. That's correct. Tshuva is beyond time. That's correct. That's what it means. It's, was created before it was created. It's beyond time. Tshuva is a power that's above time. That's 100% true. Right. I'll prove it to you. Chuva fixes the past. You know, within time, you can never get to the past. But Chuva can fix the past. Chuva's a time machine. It's beyond time. Right? Absolutely. So, this is what we're talking about. Chuva, you know, in general, Yom Kippur in particular. You know, breaks through to that first day of creation, breaks through to the end of time also. Right? No, it's the root of all time. The root of all space. Right? You know, that's the breakthrough that there is on Yom Kippur. So, the, so we understand now, also, on this day, it's a different type of day, since the Yetzer doesn't operate on this day, because in normal time and space, he does. In normal space-time, the Yetzer operates, right, the sun operates, and on this day, he doesn't. It shows it's like a whole different, a whole different reality, and that's why we say, blessed be, God's majesty, we say it out loud and proud, because on this day, the world is God's glorious majesty, right? During the rest of the year, there's like a sense of separation between God and his creation. Creation has this sense of separate space. And, and that's, that's what the sinner says. I want my own space. I'm on my own time. And these gaps that facilitate that are all closed on Yom Kippur. And when you close those gaps, evil can't exist anymore. You hear it well. Once you close the gaps in time and space, evil's got no more room anymore. So, everything that we're discussing, it all, they're all functions of each other. The fact that there's no, ra, there's no evil on Yom Kippur. And the fact that Yom Kippur is all time and all space, these are, these are interrelated ideas, right? There's no room for evil to exist in Yom Kippur because there's no gaps in time and space for him to occupy. And there's also no gaps between the body and the soul in Yom Kippur. So this goes back to something... Right, this goes back to something that Avram Katz asked earlier. Well, if the body catches up to the soul, so why do we have the five afflictions? The question is its own answer. Hear this well. On Yom Kippur, since the body catches up to the soul, so therefore on Yom Kippur, the body acts like a soul. And just like the soul doesn't eat, so also on Yom Kippur, the body doesn't eat. You know what it's like when Moses took his body to heaven? So Chazal say, when Moses' body went to heaven, didn't have to eat and drink anymore, it was following the local custom. The way a guest always has to follow the custom of his host. Right? Guest always follows the custom of his host. Chazal say, Azul Kata, Azul Bini Musai. You go to a town, follow the customs of the town. Right? So Chazal said to explain how Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was on earth, he ate the man like everyone else, and he drank the miraculous waters like everyone else, right? But when he went to heaven, he didn't have to eat, he didn't have to drink, he didn't have to fast, he didn't have to sleep, right? Says because when the body went to heaven, it followed the laws of the soul, because it was on soul territory. Where the body is on soul territory on Yom Kippur, because the gap between body and soul is closed. And the secret of the five afflictions is not the path to punish the body. On Yom Kippur, the body is on the level of the soul. And these five afflictions, as it were, because if the body would do it, it would be that the body's being a body. Right? On this day, the body plays by the rules of the soul. Because this is the day when the gap between body and soul is closed. Right? And that's why it is the day where it's God's glorious majesty. It's why it's reminiscent of the first day of creation where God was the only thing. On this day we could feel that God is the only thing because the separateness that there is in time and space is closed on this day. But of course, only a person who does tshuva could feel this about Yom Kippur. Right? The person who doesn't do tshuva is not going to get this power out of Yom Kippur. For him, it will just be the 10th day of Tishrei. For the Baal Tshuva, there's the Atzmo Shoyom, the essence of the day that reveals itself for those who do Tshuva. As in the words of the Rambam in the first parak, Atzmo Shoyom Mechaper L'Shavim, the essence of the day atones for those who do Tshuva, doesn't do tshuva tap into this dimension of Yom Kippur that's all time and all space and closes the gaps. And when you close the gaps, so it's not tzaddikim versus rishayim anymore, it's all just the Jewish people. Because the separateness that allows for rishayim to live as rishayim is closed on this day. Everyone's tzaddikim. Right? How are we doing? If all the principles are clear, we could go back to answer our questions. How are we doing? If everything's clear, we could go back to start now. Okay. So now with this, you know, everything that we asked about the Rambam becomes clear. When the Rambam says Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva, he doesn't mean the 10th of Tishrei. Right? Right. Right. He doesn't mean the 10th of Tishrei. Right. Right. He means it's a time when the whole world goes back to God. It's not a calendar day. When you say Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva, he doesn't mean that because it's the 10th of Tishrei, an obligation to do tshuva kicks in. That's not what the Rambam says, and it's not what he means. Because if that would be the case, like we explained, women would be exempt. It just means it's a time of tshuva. It's tshuva time, meaning the way time works on Yom Kippur, it's a different notion of time. It's different notion of time, right? It's time that leads back to God. Generally, time-space is your sense of, you know, being on your own time and in your own space. Yom Kippur is tshuva time. It's time, the hours of this day is, you know, it has a different mechanic to it. It's time of going back to God, right? Right? And that's why he says, for the individual and for the masses, meaning it encompasses all of reality. That's what he means, for the individual masses, meaning it's not just for special people, right? Or it's not just for the masses, that the masses, we Chazal tell us, have special merit. The masses can do tshuva at any time. But Ram's stressing, it's zman tshuva, it's tshuva time, meaning it's a different type of time. It's not a regular calendar day. That's why it has nothing to do with the sugya of whether, you know, of women being potter from time-related mitzvahs. It's different time. It's not regular calendar time. It's tshuva time. For the individual, for the masses, means it's tshuva time for the entirety of reality. Not for the individual who may be outstanding, not for the masses who have great merit, but for both. It's for all, encompasses all reality. And then the Rambam solidifies that, so you cross an edge. It's the edge of forgiveness. The Rambam's saying, you know, when we move from Erev Yom Kippur into Yom Kippur, we're crossing over an edge. We've reached the edge of time. We've reached the edge. When we cross into Yom Kippur, we've crossed the edge. We've crossed the edge between normal space-time. We've come to the limits of normal, what we call normal space-time, that allows for the sense of separateness, which allows, you know, room for the Yetzer to get in and make gaps between us and God, make gaps between us and our soul. Right? You know, we cross over the edge of that space-time to time of forgiveness. Right? This is what the prophet says at the end of the day. God says, I'll look for sins and I won't find it because I'm going to forgive everyone. You know, God's forgiveness, when God forgives, his forgiveness is an act of annulling evil. It's not like when me and you forgive. When me and you forgive, we just say we don't, you know, what you did, you did. You know, I'm just not going to hate you for it anymore. That's our forgiveness. God's forgiveness is of absolute power. When God forgives, his forgiveness causes evil to cease to exist. That's what the prophet says in time, right? I'm going to look for the sins of Judah and I won't find them. Ki eslach l'asher asher, I'm going to forgive everyone who I left. So the forgiveness, God's forgiveness, you know, annuls the evil totally. Well, it's not that the evil time where there is evil, to the time of where there is slicha mechila. And therefore, everyone must do tshuva to be in step with what's happening in reality. Right? But it's not a calendar day. It's not a calendar day. And the obligation to do tshuva over here is not because there's a certain date on the calendar, which is tshuva day. But it's more that to be in step with what's happening in reality now, that all of reality is going back to God on this day, This is a day not like the rest of the days of the year. It's not normal time. It's not normal space. To be in step with reality, that's Zman Tshuva. It's time when everything's going back to God and all gaps are being closed. Therefore, everyone has to do Tshuva and Kavezer to be in step with the day. Right? To be in step. Well, you see, Brian, the actual day itself is the power of the future. It's Bina. It's Bina. It's the root of time, right? You know, since we immediately go back to regular time space afterwards, that's why there has to be more kapora, right? As it were, you know, we don't stay within Yom Kippur long enough. But of course, you know, that which we say, you know, Gemara says, and the Rambam brings the halacha, that there are four levels of kapora, Abra, you know, the four chiluke kapora, but Malchus breaks back to Bina. Malchus, the lower hay goes back to the higher hay. Malchus goes back to Bina. Okay? So the lower hay uniting with the higher hay. Okay? You know, but of course, you know, only God knows. If a person did a very, very powerful tshuva on Yom Kippur, it could be on Yom Kippur everything was forgiven. Right? You know, it depends on where a person is. When we say the Arba Chiluke Kapara, you know, that means, you know, generally what's deserved. But, you know, but God knows the full intensity of how a person did tshuva. A person could do tshuva shlema and not need the Yisurin. Or not need the Misa, you know, but only God can know that. You know, halachically, there are certain standards set by the law. But you understand that a person could, you know, do more, just like a person could do with Mimishur Sedin, a person could do such an intense tshuva that, you know, he gets treated differently than what the halacha strictly states. Right? So, anyway. Right. So, in the end, so Yom Kippur is tshuva time. It's not a date on the calendar of tshuva. It's tshuva time. It's a different type of time. It's time that doesn't give a sense of separateness from God. It's all time. It's the edge of normal space time. That normal space time runs the way it runs because it's adulterated with the Satan, right? And you cross over the edge. Kate's Mechil says cross over that edge. To the area of where there's forgiveness, God's forgiveness is the annulment of evil, and therefore Ram says to be in step with what's happening. In reality, everyone must do tshuva. But during the regular, within regular space-time, which is where the issue of Zman Groma comes up, so that's, you know, that resolves our question of why a woman is definitely obligated to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, right? Right, but, you know, within Zman Groma, right, you know, Right, within Zman Groma, right, so, you know, within Zman Groma, there's no particular time to do tshuva. The individual has to awaken himself, right? But this, you know, but Yom Kippur is not normal time. It's tshuva time. It's over the edge of regular space-time. You're crossing into it and to be in step with what's going on in reality. Right, a person therefore to be in step with what's happening in reality must do tshuva and confess on Yom Kippur. Right. So anyway, I hope I gave everyone a little bit of an insight. You know what's so special and so awesomely powerful. And when we call these days, going back to another question Avram asked, you know, Yom Kippur doesn't mean that it's days of fear. These days are awesome. You know, and like we say in our colloquy, awesome. The Midah of Neira, by the way, is not fear to the exclusion of love. It's Tiferes. It's love and fear together. You know, it's love and fear together. Awesome. Neira. Neira's love and fear together. Right, these days are awesome. Awesome. Right, and, you know, the Aser Simei Tshuva in general and how it culminates with Yom Kippur, closing the gap between body and soul, closing the gap between us and God. That's what happens on Yom Kippur. So Tshuva, it's a time of Tshuva, and that means that the whole reality is doing Tshuva on Yom Kippur. That's the whole flow. And anyone who, you know, opens his heart a little bit He, you know, he has a little pinhole of sincere tshuva, could tap into this power. It's there, it's sitting there, so much power during these 10 days, and there's amazing power on Yom Kippur, there's amazing power. And anyone who just opens his heart a little bit could tap into this and take full advantage. The Rosh should help. God says, Pischuli Pesach, Kechudo Shomachat, Vanitachin Pesach, Kepischalom, open your heart, just a pinhole, God says. And I'll open up as wide as a corridor. Right? You know, so, you know, there's so much power. And with just a little bit of preparation, a little bit of sincerity, all this power can be accessed. Yom Kippur, Mechaper Lashavit. Right? Why do you do vidui so often? You know, because the vidui's got to be sincere. You don't know when you're going to be sincere. Right? You know, we hope that between all the vidui's together, a person's going to be sincere. Now listen, Nisano, by biblical law, hear this well. By biblical law, right, a person only had to do vidui once during Yom Kippur. Right? You know, the individual, that is. The Kohen Gadol has to do vidui over all the different sacrifices, because that's a halacha in the sacrifice. You know, by biblical law, a person, you know, you're right. You know, just do a vidui once with full sincerity. The rabbis, it's rabbinic, you know, because all the tefillos, all the prayers are rabbinic. And so in the prayer liturgy, which is rabbinic, so they made us, you know, do vidui in every single prayer. Right, so I guess the rabbis felt that just like, you know, they don't want to leave it biblical, that biblically you could also just pray only once a day and that's enough. Right, you know, you pray five times, so just like you're praying five times, you do vidui five times. But biblically, you're 100% right. Biblically, one vidui would have been enough. You know, provided that's sincere, instead, provided that's sincere. So we should be very happy that the rabbis make us do it, you know, six times, really. We start on Erev Yom Kippur, because hopefully between the six, there's one time we are really, really, really sincere. Now, all of them are equally important, but, you know, the one that's most important is Ne'ila. It's not just precautionary, but it's, you know, rabbinic. It's a rabbinic requirement. They made it synonymous with the prayer. So, you know, I'm just saying we should be very happy that the rabbis made it, you know, rabbinically binding. Because you never know, you know, which one will really be sincere. Because even though biblically once is enough, but it's got to be sincere. Be very happy. We should be very glad that the rabbis, you know, make us do it six times. But of course, Ne'ila is, you know, the most critical one, because that's what seals it. That's what goes, especially according to those opinions, that the power of Yom Kippur kicks in at the end. You know, it's a machlekes. Whether that which you say that the, you know, Yom Kippur, you know, washes away everything, if that's at any given moment or if that's at the culmination of the day, you know, so of course Ne'ila, which is at the end of the day, should be the most sincere one, because according to some opinions, that's when this metaphysical power of Yom Kippur kicks in. We break through to it at the end of the day, you know. So, you know, it's, you know, where the post can talk about it is, you know, if a person, God forbid, gave into his temptation, right, and ate, you know, he ate on Yom Kippur, and he started choking, right, as he ate. And in his heart, he confessed and he did tshuva before he choked to death. So he died in the middle of Yom Kippur. Did he get atonement for that sin that caused them to strangle? Like, you know, the reason why I ask you about that case is because, of course, the person had a heart attack mid-Yom Kippur, for sure. We know, Chazal tells us that a person wanted to do a mitzvah and he got cut short, you know, by death or any other thing that barred him. God gives him credit as if he completed. Over here, the guy choked by his own fault, right? Because it wasn't that, you know, he was stopped by circumstances beyond his control. Because we know when you're stopped by circumstances beyond his control, beyond your control, God gives you credit as if you completed the project fully. Right? But over here, what the post can talk about, where the reason why you didn't make it to the end of Yom Kippur was your own evil doing. You ate on Yom Kippur and you choked on your meal, God forbid. Right? So a person who felt regret in his heart as he was choking to death, did he have the benefit of Yom Kippur to atone for him or not. So as they say, it depends whether the power of Yom Kippur could be accessed at any given moment or only be accessed at the end of the day. Right, so you're playing, you know, so the one that's your most important is obviously Ne'ilah, which is at the end of the day. You know, because according to some opinions, that's when this awesome power that we described, you know, kicks in, meaning that's when you break through to it. I hope I've been clear. If everything's been clear, we'll stop for questions. We'll take questions. All right, you know, I'm not sure what you're asking. Slicha is what is God's response to our openly rebelling to Him. You know, rebellion is, you know, when for a pshia, you know, the pshia, God's response to pshia, you know, when we are sorry, is slicha. When we do anything, you know, that's rebellion, right? And for a chet that's done b'mezid on purpose, that's, you know, that's mechila. Right, so God, yeah, that's what you mean, mechila, right? Kapara is for a sin done unintentionally. That's why you bring a chatos here, unintentional sin. The carbon is a kapara. So these different verbs are the different responses that we want to get from God, right? Yeah, I'm not sure what Rabbeinu Yonadei is referring to. I'm just saying, I know that the Mepharshim say, slicha is God's forgiveness for pshia. Mechila for oven, and kapara for chatas. Slicha, mechila, and kapara. Slicha for pshia, mechila for oven, and kapara for chatas. The forgiveness for rebellion, the forgiveness for intentional sin, the forgiveness for unintentional sin. Yeah, that's the way I understand it. I mean, that's the way I've seen it in Sfarim. Any other questions? Absolutely. That was my next statement, that if anyone feels they gained anything from me, I ask everyone, if anyone feels any gratitude whatsoever, I want everyone to please pray for me. Mention me at least once in their prayers in Yom Kippur, that I should be sealed for a good year. I should have forgiveness for all my sins and be sealed for a good year. I really want your prayers on my side. You know, my name is Yochanan Meir Ben Shulamis. All right. Anyone who feels that I benefited them in any way, I ask you to please pray for me on Yom Kippur. Right, that, you know, God should forgive my sins and inscribe me and my family for life and success. Okay. All right. Last call for questions. So everyone down for me, Yochanan Meir Ben Shulamis. Last call for questions. Now, Gemar Chasima, tell everyone, thank you for coming. All right, so thank you. If you feel that way in the saddle, then please daven for me. Yochanan Meir Ben Shulamis. All right, Ephraim, I want to thank Ephraim for making this possible. Right, you know, on very short notice, Ephraim arranged for this forum. And Ephraim, I, you know, aside from thanking you, I want to make a request that you, you kindly post it up. I'm sure as many people came, there's like many, many more that would have liked to come but can't because it's in the middle of the workday, because it's, you know, only 4 or 5 p.m. And, you know, so Ephraim, please post it. Please post it. People will be looking for it. As soon as the link is up,